Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
All right, good morning. Good to see you all this morning. All right, my name is Josh. If I haven't met you, come say good day afterwards. But I look after our youth here at Compass. There we go, cool. All right, you know, the one thing I love about our church is that we're such a diverse group of people. We've got people from, you know, different countries and just different areas. We've got people from different Christian backgrounds and different traditional churches and just all kinds of different churches. And, you know, we've got youth and young adults. We've got middle-aged kind of families and people. Then we have Paul over here. No, Paul, he's a legend. He's a champion guy. He's not that old, actually. No, he's a good dude. My point in that is that everybody here is going to hear what I've got to say just a little bit differently, and it's going to be put into practice in a kind of a different kind of a way. But I really do believe that there's something here for every single person here this morning. Let's get started. I wanted to just begin with two different stories. A story that I had, an experience I had at Aldi's a few weeks ago. Who's an Aldi shopper here? I'm not really. I don't know why I was there really, but I was there. And I just wanted to share another story about when I got my first car. So I was in Aldi's just like a couple of weeks ago, and I was in line, and I had all my stuff, you know, ready to go, and there was a bit of a lineup. And then there was an Aldi guy that was working, putting everyone's stuff through. And he was like this real nice, sort of just a champion guy, asking how people's day's going and, you know, just putting everyone's stuff through. And then the lady in front of me, she's got all her stuff sort of ready to go. And we're moving down. And she's on her phone. She's just like talking real casually and just really kind of loud and just talking to her friend. And I'm thinking in my head, is this person going to get off their phone or are they going to stay on their phone? Because for me, it's a bit socially kind of wrong to stay on your phone if you're, you know, buying something. So I'm thinking, we're getting close. I'm thinking, is she going to stay on her phone or get off her phone? And anyway, she gets there and she kind of just chucks her money at the guy. He scans all her stuff through as she's on her phone. And she doesn't get off. She doesn't get off and say, just hold on a sec, or just sorry about this, or anything. She just kind of chats away and grabs her stuff and goes. So I'll come back to this story in just a minute, but when I got my first car was, like, awesome. Like, I couldn't afford a car. Someone gave me this car. It was for all the car lovers here, if you know this, it's an old Galant. It was like an old racing car, four gears, you know, and it was like a poo green kind of a color. It was just awesome. Sorry, Nana. My Nana's here this morning. She's like an awesome Catholic lady. But I just said poo green in church. But actually, my mum and my auntie and my Nana are all here. They're from Queensland. They came here just for me. No, just kidding. But they're here for another reason. But yeah, it's good to have them here. Where was I? Yes, my car. So I poo green, that's right. So I stepped out of my door. I didn't have my license at the time as of yet, but I stepped out of the front door and I turned it, and right where my car's meant to be, it was just like not there, like just disappeared. And I'm, you know when like something just doesn't make sense in your brain, you kind of look and I'm like, where's my car? And it turned out my car had been stolen. We called the cops and everything, and it turned into this real bizarre sort of story. They used it in a ram raid, drug raid thing where Ev's mum works in a chemist. And then it turned out it got dumped like in the church car park where down the road and stuff. It was just weird, but just this crazy story. But when I found out it got stolen, it was really interesting. I got kind of really angry and upset, but it was interesting because I was more upset about the fact that someone had done this than I was actually about missing my car. I was kind of more angry at the fact that someone didn't think about how their actions affect someone else. And I was like, really, like, how can someone actually do this? And it seems like from little things in Aldi stores, people being on their phone, to people stealing cars, to the evilest of evils in our world, it seems like there's this foundational kind of a problem in our world. And it's this, is that people don't think about how their actions affect others. And it's like this poison in our world, and it's this thing called selfishness. It's like this foundational kind of a thing, and I'm sure you guys see it, you know, on your way to work, in your car, at your workplaces, just in the little everyday things of life. I'm sure you see this thing called selfishness, where people don't think about others. And the point that I want to make this morning, one thing I want to just leave us with is, if we live for God, we must live for others. If we live for God, we must live for others. In other words, if we're a disciple of Jesus, if we take his words seriously, we must live for other people. I work at a company called Kurong. And if you don't know what Kurong is, we're just a major big kind of Christian resource company. We've got bookstores all across the country. We sell everything from books and Bibles and DVDs, music, everything. We've got a 20% off sale on at the moment. 25% off if you spend over $70 in store and online. But anyway, I work at this place called Kurong, so yeah, Christian bookstore basically. And I get like a wide range of customers, all different kinds of Christian people come in. But there's this one customer that comes in, he's like one of my favorite customers in the world. Like he comes in, and he came in one day, and there was these two nuns in the store. They had like their little hat things on, and I'd never seen like nuns come into the store before, so it was just really, really cool. And this favorite customer of mine, he takes me aside, and they're kind of doing their shopping, filling up their baskets, and they're kind of looking at the price at different things, and they're sort of looking around, and this favorite customer of mine takes me aside, and he says, "Josh, whatever they get, whatever they put in their basket, whatever they bring to the front counter, just put it on my account. Just go for it." So I'm thinking, oh, this is really cool. And I mean, this guy is not like really wealthy or anything. He just oozes this love like with everyone. And anyway, they bring their stuff up to the counter, and I'm like, run to the counter and I scan all through. I'm like, oh, yep, cool. It's all taken care of. It's all yours. And they were like, oh yeah, here's the money. Yep, we just want to pay for it. And then I'm like, no, it's all right. It's all right. It's all yours. And they're like, oh, yep, here's the money, we'll pay for it. And it took me about four goes to actually, to tell them, you know, it's fine, it's paid for, it's taken care of. And it was just really, really cool that when they finally figured it out, like one of the ladies, she was just like, oh, it must be God. it was really funny. But it was just cool. And anyway, this guy, man, he just, like, he can tell he has the Holy Spirit in him. Like, he just oozes this love. In fact, he knows, like, because I was keen to go to Hillsong Conference and stuff, and he was telling me he doesn't really agree with some of their theology, and he thinks their music's a bit loud and stuff. But he goes, "Josh, if you want to go, I'll get you to Hillsong Conference next year." So that was pretty cool. If anyone wants to go on a road trip with me to Sydney, you know, just hit me up. Because I got no one to go with, so it was just cool. But yeah, it was just something really attractive about this customer. I was reading a book from a pastor called Matt Chandler just the other day, and he tells this really cool story. He's a pastor, so he kind of gets to church around the same time as the musicians, and he rocks up to church, and he notices there's like there's one car park where the water kind of floods in if it's been raining, and it kind of floods a little bit. And if it's been raining, it kind of creates a bit of a puddle. And he noticed this musician, whenever he'd rock up, he'd kind of just park his car right in the puddle. And he noticed it was happening kind of over and over every week. And he stops him one day and he goes, "Dude, why do you park in this car park like every week?" And he simply just said this. He says, "I park there so no one else has to." And for me, that is just, like, profound. Like, it's really cool. And I was tempted to share some, like, really big Mother Teresa sort of stories, some giant stories. But I really wanted to share some small things because I think that's where God moves sometimes and that's where God works. It's in the small things, like everyday things. If we live for God, we must live for others. If we can just put these first scriptures up. I've just got five small passages of scripture. So Romans 12 says, love must be sincere. You know, love must be sincere. Love doesn't mean that we have to be best friends with everyone and we go on picnics all together and we run through fields of flowers together. You can do that with my wife if you want to. She's pretty random, but should probably put it on Instagram or something. But love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. And then 1 Corinthians, no one should seek their own good. You know, this whole world is seeking their own good. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. If we can just go to the next one. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. You know, it doesn't matter what people look like, where, what country they're from, what they smell like, who they are. It says value others, value the person in front of you above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And then the next one is, man, from Jesus, listen to this. This is his command. He says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You know, I grew up in church and we'd always sing worship songs and we'd always sing, especially in youth, you know, we'd sing all these songs and it was often we'd sing songs about like, oh God, I give my life up to you and God, I sacrifice my life, I surrender. You can go and buy the latest like Chris Tomlin, Hillsong. I guarantee you there'll be songs that are about like laying your life down. And for me, when I'd used to sing them, sometimes it just wouldn't make sense because I'd be like, I'm singing this. Does that mean that I got to become a missionary and go somewhere? You know, because honestly, if I went down the street and preached about Jesus, it's fairly unlikely someone's going to kill me for it or something like that, you know, in our country. And it just wouldn't make sense, but it's beginning to make sense to me now that it's, yeah, we lay our life down for God, but we're actually dying to who we are in ourselves and we're putting others ahead of us. That's what it means. If we can just put the next one up. So we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If we live for God, we must live for others. One of my mates back when I was in youth, his name was Dan Fisher. He was like this awesome guy. Like anything we were doing as Christians and going out and doing stuff, he'd just have to do it to like the more extreme. Like he started like a radio program. He'd go and pick people up and bring them to church. Like he'd just have to. In fact, I don't think he was even allowed to be a youth leader because he was just that crazy. Like he'd just go nuts, you know, doing stuff. But he was just an awesome guy. And we had this guy that was coming along to church. His name was Chris. And he was severely disabled. So he had like a little light on his hat. And the only way he could communicate was through, you know, just pointing to little like letters and numbers and things. And we were like excited that he was coming to church and stuff. It was really cool. I don't think he was from like a Christian background or anything like that. And he was coming along. And sometimes it was a bit hard because he didn't know what to say to him. And we were kind of young and he was older than us. But anyway, we were standing at this intersection kind of near church and he was coming down in his wheelchair and we were thinking, in my head, I was thinking, oh, should we go and sort of help him cross the road and press a button for him? Or should we just let him, you know, come across himself or anything? And we're sort of standing there, but Dan, man, my mate Dan Fishy just runs across the road. Oh man, Phil's turned me into a bit of a crier, I'm sorry. But anyway, my mate Dan Fisher, he just runs across the road and he just goes and starts chatting to him like he's his best friend and he grabs his wheelchair and he just pushes him straight across the road. It was like, it was awesome. Like, it gives me goosebumps to this day. And it was like a moment in my life where I'm like, yep, from now on, I'm going to be like that. I'm going to be someone who loves others. I'm going to be someone who does stuff like that. Got some real cool photos to show you, some awesome photos. If you could just chuck the first one up. So this first one, this guy spent 7 years drawing a maze, this maze. So at one point, apparently, there is a beginning. And at some point, there is a way you can get out. So that's just really, I was just like, wow, that is awesome. If we go to the next one. All right, so this is the railway lines in Tokyo. So for me, I'm just like, whoa, you think Melbourne's like confusing? That is just like, oh my goodness. If we can go to the next one. All right, this is incredible. Actually, I don't know what that is. Something to do with a light bulb or something. And the next one? Is Andrew De Silva here this morning? I don't know. This is a piece of music, and it's really profound, actually. It's pretty cool because there's bits where it talks about the tempo and crescendo and stuff, and then somewhere, I'm not making this up, somewhere on there it just says, "Release the penguins." I was just like, what? What does that mean? But my point with those is that there's one word that kind of sums them all up, and it's this. It's that it's that complex, that that kind of, really just complex. And, you know, the Jewish culture and the religion that Jesus was kind of a part of, he was a rabbi, he was a teacher, and at the Jewish times, the religion they were part of, it was very complex and complicated. And there wasn't just 10 commandments, there was 613 commandments. And there was just different ceremonial type things you had to do and wash your hands here and do this here and that. And it was just a real interesting kind of a thing. And most commentaries say that a lot of the religious leaders and teachers would often discuss and debate about what were the most important commandments and what were the least commandments. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 22. And we'll start at verse 34. So Jesus is kind of amongst this Jewish culture. And it says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they were the religious teachers, it says, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? So that law, that's like the whole, or most of the Old Testament. And Jesus replied, and he says this, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. And then this next statement is where Jesus hits it. He says, all of the law and the prophets, so all of the Old Testament that we have today, all of those commandments, all of this that we got to do, he says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, love God and love people and love others. If we live for God, we must live for others. If we're a disciple of Jesus, we must live for other people. We are the light of the world. I mean, what's all our stuff for, really? Like, what are our cars for? Are they for us or are they for us and for others? What's our money for? Is it for us and for others? What are our spare rooms for? Are they for us to store all our junk or is it for others, us and for others? Me and Evelyn have decided, you know, we've got a spare room there. And if anyone does ever need a place to sleep, you know, our room is there. I mean, we live in this tiny little place. We've got the most uncomfortable couch in the whole galaxy. The youth all know it. It's terrible. But we don't care. We've just said our place is there if people need it. You know, what's our stuff for? And we have an amazing, amazing church. Our church is awesome. We've got so many good people that are just doing stuff for people all the time. And there's things we can get on board with. There's lots of things we can do. If I can get one of the musicians up, that'd be awesome. Thanks, Troy. If we can just put that last photo up. So this is a quote from Martin Luther King. And he says, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? And that just question right there, you could just meditate on and think about, what am I doing for others? What have I done for others last week? What am I doing for others next week? And I know it's a simple statement, like it's really simple. If we love God, we must love others. It's so simple, but sometimes we get full of this head knowledge and we just really need to know what it really means. And I'm just trying to paint a bit of a picture, I guess. So if you're beginning to see a bit of a picture that I'm painting here, you know, that was my goal. I know it's simple, but it's something we need to grasp. And, you know, loving others, it's not something that's robotic. It's not something we can just press a button and then go and do. We can do that, but then it's not authentic. And this is kind of the main thing I want to share today. Like, we've done the what we need to do, but it's how do we actually do this? How do we go about doing this? And, you know, a good apprentice builder will become a good builder, not because he reads lots of books or anything. He becomes a good builder because he spends time with his boss. He spends time with other people and going and spending time with people around him. And that is exactly the same with us. We become love to the world. We become someone who cares for others because we spend time with God. And we spend time in his presence. We spend time in worship. We get some worship CDs and we put it on and we spend time becoming like Jesus. We're doing this series on Joshua at the moment that Phil's been taking us through, and it's all about saying no to other things and spending time with God. So I'll challenge you this morning, take this November thing seriously and spend time with God so you can become like him and start loving the world. And it's by the Holy Spirit, you know, it's by the power of the Spirit. And it's, I don't know about you, but I carry around like this physical feeling like within, and I know it's the Holy Spirit. It's like this thing I carry around, and it's because I've spent time with God and I've said, God, just come fill me with who you are. We've got Tuesday nights that are open at the office for us just to go and just spend time in his presence. There's lots of things we can do. But I guess what I'm trying to say is wherever you're at spiritually, we're all at different levels. In November, let's try to take it a little bit deeper from wherever you're already at so we can become like Jesus. Yeah, you know, we've talked a lot about love this morning. And maybe you're here this morning, you've never experienced the love of God, or you're not familiar with the love of God and you don't have a relationship with God. And the Bible says this, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So I'm just going to say a prayer in a minute, but if we could all just close our eyes, bow our heads. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never, like I said, experienced this life in God, this love of God. And if you're here and you would like to say, I want to experience that love from God and that life, it's really simple. You can walk out today just knowing that love and having that relationship with God. So I just want to ask you, if you're here this morning and you've never started that relationship with God and you would like to, you know, God, it says in the Word that God so loved the world that he sent Jesus to die on a cross just for us, that we may have life in Jesus. If you're here this morning and you'd like to say, yes, I want that life this morning, and you've never done that, I'd love to pray with you. Can you just put up your hand? If you're here this morning, you've never done that and you would like to, I'd love to pray with you if you're here. Oh, fantastic. I'm just going to pray. God, we just come before you now. We pray your Holy Spirit will just fill us. And we just want to spend time with you, Lord. We just give our hearts to you, Lord, this morning. We just pray your Holy Spirit will just fill us, that we may be the light to the world, that we may love others in a practical way. Jesus, just come refine us, come sanctify us, and come be with us this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.